Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Victor Family Victor Malco Radio Show.
Hey, folks. It's time for the show.
And now, here's your host for all this craziness, Jack Hatfield.
Good day, night. Don't know when you're listening to this show, but hello, how are you doing? This is the World Universe's fastest growing family talk show ever. And I am excited as you to be here today. Let me tell you, this show is growing leaps, bounds, Superman flights, that kind of stuff. It is amazing. So let's get all started. Confucius said, put the world right in order. We must first put the nation in order. To put the nation in order, we must first put the family in order. To put the family in order, we must first cultivate our personal life. That's right. I'm your host, Jack Hatfield, and we do it with an exclusive 4+1 method. Starting with positive fathering, make a difference mothering, pull through parenting, and finally reveal your success. The plus one is disease and the diet, where we are finding ways to eradicate, prevent, and cure degenerative diseases that are affecting families across this fruited plain and the world. We are not just fixing America, we're fixing all nations, so we are fixing the family, and the world is our result. A better world is our result. I can't tell you how happy I am to be here. This show is garnering more and more interest. We have our first installment of the Magic Minute from Adele Omane out of the UK. It will add a touch of wonderful class to this show, whereas I lower it and become lower than all expectations could imagine. And she's going to add her wonderful words of wisdom to our show today. We also hope in the future, very soon, working on that as we speak, to have the Medical Minute from a Dr. Z. You're going to love that. You're going to absolutely love it. I can't wait for that. Wow, there's so many stuff going on in the world. You know, you know the regular news. You know Libya. You know Japan. Again, all of our prayers go out to everyone in Japan. Dealing with that situation and hopefully getting better every day, but it doesn't appear to be. Hopefully the everything that could possibly be happening good for those people is happening. Wow, that you hear all that stuff, and so you know there's got to be a miracle somewhere. Well, let me tell you. Over in Britain, where Adele is from. Not from, actually, she's from Scotland. I'm sorry. Scotland. Believe so. We'll have to double check with her. She's probably listening, and she'll get very angry with me. Actually, no, it's not. It's like 2 a.m. where she is. When we had her on the show, she actually stayed up till 2 a.m. Anyway, all the tragedy means somewhere there's a miracle. And let me tell you, I'm going to talk about a 13-ounce miracle. I'm going to talk about that today. 13-ounce miracle. I want you to go grab you a Coke bottle out of the refrigerator, ladies and gentlemen. Don't drink it, because I'm even going to talk about what happens to your body right after you drink one of those. Right after you drink a Coke. So don't drink it anyway. That Coke bottle is 12 ounces. Now add one more ounce to that and imagine that's what the miracle I'm going to talk about. Then I'm going to talk about, now I know there's new listeners here. I know my regular listeners are the smartest listeners in the world. And they do their homework every week. They tell people to listen to the show. But we're going to find out ways to raise your brain power. Boost your brain power. That's right. We might even talk about exercise for abs if we get around to it. It's one of the best exercises for abs. I had so many people talking since spring is here. They're trying to get into fitness. And so we're going to try to have our little bit of fitness stuff. And then there's an exercise mistake that is proven to damage your heart. You don't want to do that. No, that would be bad. Top 10 fitness myths. We're going to talk about those. This is our fitness myths. And then, of course, everyone trying to get that summer tan on before they start wearing them clothes. Well, if you're this type of person, you may want to watch out. Skin cancer's up. Skin cancer's up for you. And then we're going to talk about how people are getting fatter. So we're going to have to make things bigger. Then we're going to revisit the Canadian baby Joseph that was having a problem. And we're going to revisit and talk about that. And right here in right over in South Carolina, where spring started and a park cranked up their train, a whole bunch of idiots lied about a train and killed a little boy. Yes, not bad. And then is cancer contagious? And then a sad, tragic thing we haven't talked about yet. Newt, the polar bear, has passed away. And I've got some thoughts on that. And can sex actually kill you? Yep, according to this, it can. And then there's a new movie, the number one movie, Limitless. Limitless, about a drug that allows you to use all of your brain. Now, does that mean it's possible that we can get that way, or are we done? Or are we just looking at some stupid people that aren't using 0.1% around you? And if I had my answer, I personally think that some people are not using 0.1%. They might be using less. So all of that and more tonight, ladies and gentlemen, our special fitness. Spring is here. We're going to spring into action. We're going to do all kind of stuff. It's going to be great. I can't wait. I am so majorly happy for you to be listening to this show, and I thank you so much for being here. And we'll go ahead and get started. It's going to be great. Fix the family, fix America. We'll be right back. Not now. Not now. We're talking. We're back. We have never actually physically tested the microphone mute. We have no knowledge if it functions or doesn't. But we're glad it does at this time because there were some issues on the on stage here. That's right, we're on stage. Let's see, before we're going into fitness, let's talk about the miracle. I want to talk about the miracle. This is amazing. With so much going on in the world, I want to talk about this. As most of you know, we had a premature daughter, which changed my life and put me into all of this highlighting of people's amazing stuff and the success that is inside of you and the natural success principles and the founding of Fix the Family, Fix America, and just doing all I can for premature babies across the world, starting the Early Journey Foundation, helping people, writing a book, then writing the second book, working on a third, has eight diseases and diets, doing positive fathering, make a difference mothering, pull through parenting, reveal your success and disease and diet seminars across the country. It's amazing what has happened since. And we've been doing it ever since she was born. But her amazing story is one that you can obviously get on from the book. But here's a more amazing set of twins were born over in the UK. However, daughter Molly passed away. Both of these twins were born at 23 weeks. Now, twins are already going to be premature. Now, these twins are super premature. And one of them, the smaller twin, Freya Grace, refused to give up the battle for survival despite only weighing 13 ounces at birth. She has had, over the last 8 months, 9 blood transfusions, a plasma transfusion, and a delicate heart valve operation, very similar to our struggles. The feisty youngster was allowed home from the hospital today in Derry in South Wales with an oxygen supply to help strengthen her lungs. Many hospitals leave babies born before 24 weeks to die because they only have a 2% chance of survival and often have severe disabilities. However, doctors are hopeful that Freya Grace will go on and live a normal life.
That's oscillating.
So she is home. Look at that. I wish you could see a picture on the radio. It is amazing. She used to fit into one hand, just like our daughter, and her skin was translucent. All of her veins were visible. Now she's 9 pounds. 9 pounds on home and just on some supplement oxygen upper nose. Very good. So that is one of the miracles out of all this stuff that you're hearing from Libya and Japan and the economy and people's personal economies, because every one of us knows someone that's having a bad day at all times. I'm just absolutely happy. Now, this comes on the heels of us talking about last week that the UK government National Health Service has decided that babies born before 26 weeks, they weren't going to do anything with. So, doesn't this kind of say that you don't ever know? And that the mom who was upset about them just giving up on her child that was alive for 49 minutes had kind of argument with not noticeable disabilities at this time. Now, here's something important that y'all need to know. Mom and dad quit everything to be by her side. They went into a cot side vigil, taking it turns if they had to be with the little girl. That's right. When I have fathers, I do talks and I say I quit everything to be next to my daughter when she was in the NICU. People go, well, I can't quit. Well, that's right. You just said can't. You can't, never could. But then I look at them and I go, how can you not? I do not regret not one single moment of almost losing everything just to sit by my daughter, because can you imagine what I could have lost if I didn't? Now, the parents were shocked that Freya Grace was the survivor, because they thought Molly was going to live. Freya Grace was just so small. But Molly gave up the fight, and Freya Grace said no. She's a determined little girl. She's already pulling herself up and arching her back. She's so strong. I have to tell you, when I read this article, it just was reminiscent of everything. What is this? Excuse me, I'm getting a libation delivered to me. It is tea with a spoon in it. Don't know how that changes the flavor. It also feels very, very hot. Got honey? There's honey in it? Yay! So anyway, the previous smallest surviving twin born in Britain was in July 2010 to Amanda Staplehurst. They weighed 1 pound 4 ounces. His sister, weighing 1 pound 20 ounces, also survived. This one's now 13 ounces. So it just goes to show that even last week we had an argument. The mom was upset. They were saying we're not going to even attempt to keep a child 26 weeks alive. Here's one at 13 ounces, determined. And here's the other thing about this, ladies and gentlemen. You cannot regulate, legislate, make or break the human spirit. You can become one with it, or you can decide to shut it away and never have it again. Freya Grace, 13 ounces, went home from the hospital today. That is a miracle. Another miracle. This is why I called my success principles the natural success principles, because this is what's naturally inside you. You have everything you need to succeed inside you before you were born. Freya Grace, my daughter Jonna, both proof of that statement. What? Both proved that they had everything they need to survive. They didn't just go through a hard day. Once you grasp this, they didn't just go through a traffic jam like you might have this morning. No, no. They struggled to survive. They lifted themselves up before. My daughter had to be paralyzed. She was lifting herself up so much. It was detrimental to her growth. She was trying to move so much. Freya Grace is now at home trying to walk. Starting at 13 ounces. Go grab a Coke bottle for me and lift it. Now, on the flip side of this, I have to bring this up. I have tweeted, talked, we brought it up. Baby Joseph out of Canada. Doctors in the Canadian hospital determined that he was in a permanent vegetative state and were ready to move his breathing tube. The parents, however, fought to have the tracheotomy performed so that Joseph could spend his remaining days at home. A Canadian court upheld the doctor's orders. Then the family sought Priests for Life organization, and they went to Cardinal Glennon's Children's Medical Center in St. Louis, where they performed the tracheotomy his parents requested, and he remained in intensive care for 7 to 10 days. When discharged, he will be treated at Rankin Jordan, a pediatric specialty hospital in St. Louis, and then finally he will be able to return to his family home in Windsor, Ontario. The family is saying that he is in a calm and he doesn't appear to be in any pain by this tracheotomy. So hopefully we will have some good news. The tracheotomy inserts the tube directly through the throat, through an incision in the neck, and eliminated the pain and discomfort associated with intubation. Its main purpose is to provide comfort. So as soon as the incision heals enough, baby Joseph will be able to go home and either spend miracle times with his parents or spend the final times with his parents. So another miracle happening there. We've talked about that all over this show. But the tracheotomy has been performed. And hopefully when discharged, he will be able to go home. So many people look at me when I say, when they come to me and they have a complaint, or they say they're having a bad day, or they're saying they got a lot of work, or I don't have enough work, or their personal economy is bad. And I come home, even with the stress of having to deal with, I have three fish, three brand new fish with ick. And ick is a very fatal disease to fish. But you know who doesn't know that? My daughter. She just says they have white spots. Yeah, they have ick. She knows it's called ick. I said, sweetheart, we're trying to fix it. Hopefully the fish are going to be okay. And she goes, they're going to be okay, Daddy. They're going to be tough. Now, this again was from a daughter, from a child, born premature, not much later than Freya Grace we just spoke about. And every day you see inside her that absolute shining spirit that you cannot regulate, legislate, make or break. If the person holding that spirit doesn't want you to. You cannot tell people to be a success. You cannot show them. They have to want to be. You cannot tell people to survive. They have to want to survive. You cannot go over to someone and flip the switch on for the human spirit to light within. They have to help you do it. I can only do this show every week, and I can only do seminars all the time, and I can only talk to people over and over and over again, but until that person that I'm talking to or the people that need the help choose to get that help, there's nothing I can do, really. Again, you can't legislate, regulate. You can't even beat it out of them. But I tell you what, when you see it, you definitely want to hold it. the picture of this little tiny baby doing kangaroo care on its mother, and it brought back so many memories. That's what you want to do. If I seriously could squeeze my daughter into my body, I would have already done so. That's the power you're feeling. And that's miracle stuff. That's why we have Reveal Your Success. Because if you reveal your success and the shining spirit inside you, if you reveal that, I know you have no boundaries. There's nothing to be. You want to talk about limitless? That's limitless. And there's a new movie called Limitless where he takes a medication called NZT, allows him access 100% of his brain's potential rather than the 20% some assert, and is actually engaged in daily pursuits. Now, we're going to go into that in a little bit, but I already know it doesn't take 100% of your brain. It doesn't take a pill. It doesn't take anything. It takes the spirit and the will. So with all that's going on and all that's around you and everything that you hear, remember every 1 minute, there's another premature child born every 60 seconds. Another family is going through exactly what I went through, what that couple went through with Freya Grace. And they're witnessing exactly what we have seen and what we know to be true. Does it change their lives? Yes. Some people, their lives were changed temporarily. They go right back to where they were as soon as the child comes home. And the child actually has detrimental health impacts because of that. Everything changes when you have a premature child. You've got to do a little more. You've got to try a little harder. You've got to step up to the plate. You can't just treat them like regular children. They're going to have different needs. They come home with oxygen, for goodness sake. Ours came home with an alarm around her chest and oxygen up her nose. But it didn't bother us a bit. We've already spent 130 days in the NICU, hooked up to more alarms and beeps and wires than you can shake a stick at. This was just two. We were like, wow, down to two. Two wires, that's nothing. Used to be 115. You want to talk about sitting there watching that success and saying to yourself, well, I should probably suck as a dad because that's what that deserves. Yeah, saying to yourself, I should probably be like a normal parent and just throw food at it in the corner. No. No, you don't do that. You go, I've got to do the best I could possibly do and raise up to give this human spirit the best chance it could possibly have. And that's the whole reason I do this. Whole reason I do Fix the Family. Whole reason I founded Best Principles, Fix the Family, Fix America. Whole reason I've done every bit of this. Because there's two shining, shimmering blue eyeballs. Actually, there's four, but there's the two that I'm talking about from the premature child. Looks at me every day when I come home and goes, Daddy, Daddy, and hugs me. And then there's two more that says a different type of daddy, but that's something else. You can do it, ladies and gentlemen. Right here, you want our help. We can get it to you. I'm not kidding. Fix the Family, Fix America. Fix yourself. Fixes your family. Fixes the nation. And fixes the world. Now, that Coke bottle you got, hold on to it for a second. Don't drink it, though. Back to Fix the Family, Fix America. I'm so glad you're here. Thank you very much. Now, be sure you follow me on Twitter to get the latest on baby Joseph and how he's doing as he goes through his new experience. Get the latest on any of the families. Get the latest on Freya Grace. Get the latest on everybody that you could possibly get the latest on that the news is not covering. You're not going to hear the good stuff. And you're not going to hear the secrets of the bad stuff either. That's why you listen to this show. You get the insides and outsides. We can look at the study that comes out, and you get the headline on the regular news media, but they don't tell you the deep, deep, deep stuff that happened in the background. Let's look at this, ladies and gentlemen. What happens? Now, the 13-ounce baby, you go and grab you a 12-ounce Coke. All right? What happens when you just down that Coke? Well, within the first 10 minutes, 10 teaspoons of sugar hit your system. This is the exact amount that hits me in the morning when I drink my coffee. And that is also 100% of your recommended daily intake. Now, let me tell you, I don't put sugar in anything else the rest of the day. I don't drink a soda the rest of the day. So, I'm covered. Anyway, 100% of this recommended daily intake, and the only reason you don't vomit after 10 teaspoons of sugar is because the sweetness is cut by the phosphoric acid. Now, within 20 minutes, your blood sugar is now spiking to the roof. And your liver responds to the resulting insulin that your pancreas had to put out in a big burst by turning massive amounts of that sugar into fat. Your liver starts going into overload, going, wow, we have to start getting rid of this sugar in the bloodstream because there's tons of insulin. Now, within 40 minutes, caffeine absorption is complete. Your pupils are dilated. Your blood pressure rises. And your liver dumps more sugar into your bloodstream. What? Around 45 minutes, your body increases dopamine production, which stimulates the pleasure centers of your brain. Physically identical response to that of heroin. And thus the reason you go drink another Coke. Cola. Another cola after 1 hour of that beverage, because after 60 minutes, you'll start to have that sugar crash. Americans drink 60 gallons of soft drinks each year, the average consumption. Wow. Now, while the natural ones have 10 teaspoons of sugar, the unnatural ones have high fructose corn syrup. We're going to talk about what that does. But let's look at the other thing. Phosphoric acid interferes with your body's ability to use calcium, leading to osteoporosis or softening of the teeth and bones. How many ostracal and cow traits and chewy chews and calcium things do you see on the market today? Where did those come from? They weren't on the market 10 years ago. Now, sugar increases insulin levels, which leads to more high blood pressure, high cholesterol, heart disease, diabetes, weight gain, premature aging than anything else on earth. How about if you were to drink the diet soda? Come on now. There are 92 different health side effects associated with sugar substitutes. Those include brain tumors, birth defects, diabetes, emotional disorders, and epilepsy and seizures. We can have a whole show about that. We're not going to talk about that right now. Now, a lot of people drink bottled water because they go, I'm not going to drink that tap water. It's got chlorine, trihalomethanes, lead, cadmium, other pollutants. Well, guess what? Tap water in that cola. One soda a day increases your risk of diabetes by 85%. One soda a day can add as much as 15 pounds of your weight over the course of a year. Soda drinkers have a higher cancer risk. While the federal limit for benzene in drinking water is 5 parts per billion, researchers have found benzene levels of 79 parts per billion in some soft drinks, and above the 100 brands tested, most had at least some detectable level of benzene present. Soda has also been known to cause DNA damage courtesy of sodium benzoate, a preservative found in many soft drinks, which has the ability to switch off vital parts of your DNA, which could actually lead to cirrhosis of the liver and Parkinson's. Is there a reason? I saw just the other day, I was getting my hair cut, and I watched this child, couldn't be no more than two to three years old. Him and Daddy went over to a fast food joint that sells shaved roast beef. I won't name their name. But as they walked back, the kid would walk and go a little crazy in the waiting room, run around, and then run back. Cup. Then you go do something else, you come back. Drink some more. Go do something, run back, come back. I said, wow, right there he's showing that is some big stuff. Now, sugar to a child, as you see, gives that dopamine feeling, and then they crash, and they don't know what that crash is, so they turn into cranky, and that's known as what? Parents are going to call them the terrible twos. I don't know. But just letting you know, soda's not very good. Now, before we go into the whole fitness aspect, all right, let's talk about this South Carolina train ride. Here it is, spring. Parks opened up. 6-year-old Benji Eastler goes and gets on a train. First time they run it. Train goes very fast, crashes, kills the boy, injuring dozens others. Just found out the train ride inspector faked the report. Didn't even test the train. Found out he couldn't have tested the train. The battery in the train was dead, making it inoperable for the train to have been tested prior to starting up. The train was in its first day of operation and had several test runs before the crash. All of those test runs were empty. Now, this is a park. It's a government park. State park. State workers. There's a there's a Carowinds between the North and South Carolina border, very close to Spartanburg. They didn't have any wrecks over the weekend. Just something to think about. Now, let's not go too crazy saying that all state-run parks have the problem. Okay? Because just 5 days ago, there was a head injury on a ride undergoing maintenance at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Okay. It's a mild roller coaster. It was closed. No guests were in the area when the accident happened. It was undergoing maintenance. And one of the workers got killed. Now, that's a far cry from not testing it, being a lazy tail, not testing your train, and then letting the public just come on in and roll on it. This one was shut down for maintenance, and one of the workers got hurt and killed. Big difference, big difference. Something to think about, something to think about. I like pointing these little things out. You probably didn't even hear about either one of these. Probably didn't even hear about it. My libation is some form of tea with some honey, raw organic honey in it, which is good for the ulcer ailment we're working on. Now, here's something I thought was important. Kellogg's quietly had some issues with some cereal a while back. Because of all flavor and smell coming from the liner package. Remember, we talked about that. Little known fact that kind of struck me when I talked about this voluntary recall of Kellogg's cereal a long time ago on this show. And then just the other day, I saw this Big Lots ad talking about how they now have food and groceries and cereal. Just something that struck me as interesting. Because Big Lots is known as the store that gets stuff after other stores try to sell it. It don't work. They send it back. They put it in a big old truck. And then Big Lots comes and buys it for $5 for the whole truck. And then they put it on the thing. So that was just something for me. Now, we just talked about what cola does to you, and it's making the obesity, high fructose corn syrup and obesity, the consumption of high fructose corn syrup and soybean oil are parallel to obesity and the rise of obesity. Don't think I'm ever getting off soybean oil, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, we're on the permanent eradication of unfermented soy being used as a food product. Do you understand soybean oil, soybean products is in my fish food, or is in one of the fish foods I bought, which I then threw away because I said to myself, these fish are never going to eat this. They would never eat this in the wild. You wouldn't eat it in the wild. You could be in the wild, right, and you run across acres upon acres of soybeans. Guess what you can't do? You cannot eat them. I'm going off on a tangent. Back to the soda. Soda, soybean oil contributing to obesity. Well, guess what? The U.S. government said we're going to have to rewrite bus safety rules because everyone's getting fat. That's right. They wanted to raise the assumed average weight per bus passenger from 150 to 175 and add an extra quarter of square foot of floor space per passenger. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. They just said we need to raise the average to 175. The average to 175 and an extra quarter of a square foot of floor space to cover that big tail. To handle that behunkus that's sitting down. What that means is that can mean fewer people will be allowed on a bus. Because obviously the bus can't. Is the bus going to be bigger, or are they just going to allow more room? The change is really just a bow to reality, says Joseph Schwederman from DePaul University in Chicago. With no small number of bus passengers tipping the scale at 200 pounds or more, this is much more realistic. We just had... last week, the diabetes bell said that in now we've got the government coming up saying now people that are riding buses. He says no small number of bus passengers tipping the scale at 200 pounds or more. Is buses preventing people from wanting to walk? I don't know, but... the bus safety rules have been rewritten to handle 25 more pounds and a bigger old square foot behunkus. All in conjunction. With the study that showed people were, fat and lazy in the diabetes belt. Now, before we get to our fitness stuff, I want to really talk about, we've talked about a miracle of a child. There's plenty of people, there's been more outpouring similar to Diana or Elvis of sympathy and flowers of Newt the polar bear's death. The world's most famous polar bear Remember, this polar bear, there's two cubs were born to this mother. The mother then, they said, had a very weird aversion to not wanting to be a mother. And left her cubs. Just left them and did not mother them. Well, us humans, or at least the humans around that particular cub, said the mother is crazy. The mother is obviously a crazy freak. So we will take these two polar bears and raise them ourselves. One of the polar bears died soon after and had some deformities and issues. Now Newt, the world's famous polar bear, 4-year-old, died in a very strange seizure-like manner. Where they're kind of trying to figure out if he had some cause of death has not been determined, but there's been serious concerns that he may have had some kind of brain issue, psychologically unbalanced, or if he had a heart issue or something else. My question upon reading all of this is, obviously there's sorrow. Obviously the bear's one of the cutest things in the world. It brought 4 years of joy to so many people's lives. Again, more people are upset about Newt dying. Not more people, but a similar amount of people as Princess Diana and Elvis Presley. Now, rejected by the mother, raised by humans, the keeper that had the special bond with him died of a heart attack in 2008. It seemed Newt had become depressed, and then it seemed that he got over that. They put him in with three females. The three females then ganged up on Newt, biting him and chasing him away. So they basically put Newt all by himself. Now, did the bears have a instinct that something was wrong with Newt and the other polar bear that had the deformities? Did the mother instinctively know? I watched BBC Earth, and you watch that polar bear that has to dig a hole in the side of a mountain in ice and go with her two cubs and basically live there feeding them for 6 or 7 or 8 months or however long it is. I can't remember the exact amount. And then she crawls out absolutely exhausted, not eating a thing for that amount of time, and has to show her cubs how to slide and walk and expand. Then they have to go on a journey. First thing they got to do is there's no waiting around. You got to go. We got to roll out. This is fun, this slide and all. I know we've been cooped up in a small hole on the side of a mountain for this long, but we have got to eat. They start walking out across the ice to go to where the walruses and seals and all that. Then those creatures are now making their way to the edges, and the polar bear knows it has to get there and feed its young. Now, the polar bear knows that has to happen. If that polar bear knows that has to happen, no matter whether the children were born in captivity or on the side of a mountain, if the mother polar bear had an instinctive little tiny nature that the cubs weren't going to make it, she had to make the journey all by herself. Do you think that's why she walked away? Is that possible? Is that possible that that mother polar bear had such an instinct, knowing how hard the first year of life is, knowing what you have to do, you have to be capable of doing this? Did she instinctively know that those two were not going to do it, well, even though she was in captivity? Isn't that an incredible thought? Is that also an incredible possibility of the mother and father of baby Joseph feeling that he may come around, or the parents of Freya Grace, or even I, never having one single inkling of a doubt, Jonna would be okay? Could that instinct of that mother bear, knowing what those two would have to go through, even though she didn't understand she was in full captivity, instinctively the polar bear knows they got to crawl out of that hole and they got to work. You got to have the will and the ability to survive right then and there. And if they can't, she can't drag them. She'll starve to death herself. So the mother has this survival instinct that says, I've got to go and eat. You two aren't going to make it. I'm going to go eat, mate again, and come back and give it another shot. Now, the three other females were thrown in with Newt. They turned him away as well. Did they say, there's something wrong with that kid? Something wrong with him. I'm not going to mess with him. I don't know. It just makes you think. When you start seeing all the child, mother, parent things that we talk about here on Fix the Family, you have to look deeper into the story. Yes, I'm sad Newt is dead. Of course I am. But when you look deeper into the context of why Newt even existed, and you look at the outpouring of people on Newt's death, when I just talked about a 13-ounce baby surviving and probably only two flowers were sent from their family members, the miracle of that child and a human being surviving at 13 ounces not felt the same way as the death of a polar bear. Could that be another issue? Could that polar bear know more than we do? Is that possible? I think it is. Well, guess what? I'm so happy right now. It's amazing because we are going to have the Adele Magic Minute. This is the first installment, so all of you listeners are listening for the first time, and even our regular listeners will get this for the first time, the Magic Minute of Adele. It's actually more than a minute, but still, it's beautiful. Here's a touch of class all the way from the UK, Adele Omane.
My name is Adele Omane, and I would like to welcome you to Adele's Magic Minute. On this part of the show, I would like to be able to bring you answers to questions that are being answered about attracting love, wealth, happiness, success into your life. By what you hold in your thoughts, focus on, give your attention to, you attract into your experience, good or bad. We attract everything from our thoughts. Our thoughts bring everything into our experience. So whatever you are going through at the moment, if you are going through situations that you don't like, you are struggling for work, you are struggling for money, Really think, how often do you keep this in your thoughts? How often do you think, I don't have money? I really wish I could find a job. Why is this happening to me? All of these types of thoughts, you are actually attracting more of the same to come to you. It is understanding that everything that we live and work around is based on energy, and our thoughts are also energy. We send out energy vibrations every time we think a thought and every time we have a feeling. Our emotions are incredibly strong energy patterns. So if we are in lack, if we have no money, we have no love in our life, we feel lonely, we tend to send out a stronger vibration when we are in lack. But when you change the way you think, when you start to think of all that you desire in your life as if it is already here, when you start to believe that you have the job that's going to bring you thousands of dollars extra a month, that you have money flowing to you, that you've attracted your perfect partner, when you fully think this and focus on and give your attention to these kinds of thoughts, you are then sending out a completely different message to the universe. The universe does not hear words. The universe hears vibration. So whatever you resonate, whatever you vibrate out energetically, is what the universe is picking up. So when you start to feel that you have money, when you start to feel that you are in that better job, that you have you've become a successful manager or a successful department head or running your own business, when you feel you are loved, when you feel that there are people that are coming to you who love to be in your company, that you have attracted the perfect partner to you, somebody who is there, who cares for you, is there to be with you by your side, that is when the universe will pick up the right message. That is when the universe will turn around and say, I hear you, and I'm going to give you exactly what you are vibrating. I will attract to you exactly the same. And when you do this, that is when things start to change. You must believe that it is possible. It is very, very important that you believe it is possible. And to do that, you need to believe in yourself. So if you want that success and that love, please, please, please get those thoughts changed.
Oh man, I can't tell you that is UK's leading law of attraction specialist right there on our show. Good dear friend of mine, Adele Omani. America, that's right. Fix the family, fix the UK, fix any nation that you desire. Let me tell you, they're all coming together here on Fix the Family, Fix America to help you. Help yourself from all over the world. That's what's exciting. That's what's exciting. And I can't tell you how tickled pink I am to have her involved in this show. Every week you're going to be hearing some Magic Minute from Adele Omani. We're going to have her back on the show doing some live stuff. It's going to be great. Let me tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, when you see that, when you see this across the ocean impact, of two people trying to change the world, You've got to feel good about that. You got to feel good about it. Well, look at here. Second hour coming up.
Welcome to the Victor Family Victor Malco Radio Show.
Hey, folks. It's time for the show.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Now, here's your host for all this craziness, Jack Hatfield.
Magic Minute. We've talked about a miracle 13-ounce baby. I can't tell you this is an exciting show. This is why we do it. And this is why, to put the world right in order, we must first put the nation in order. And to put the nation in order, we must first put the family in order. To put the family in order, we must first cultivate our personal life right here on Fix the Family, Fix America, the universe's fastest growing family talk show, with your host, me, Jack Hatfield, right here. That is what is amazing. Whew, we got the Magic Minute. We just heard it. We've got miracles happening, even despite all this unrest and bad news that you hear on the media. We've got the ability for your personal economy to be better. Let me tell you how your personal economy can be better. You can make a decision to say, I'm done. I want to attract everything that I want to attract in my life to me today. And so you start your own business. I'm hopefully very soon going to be announcing the launch of a new magazine I helped to work on the front cover with today. I'm going to talk about that, but that person knew where he could go. That person went to sandhill.sohooffice.com. He said, hey, I'm going to start a magazine. He said, I'm going to go to sandhill.sohooffice.com, see what they can do. And they did it. And I helped them. So if you're ready to be the entrepreneur you want to be, and you're tired of being the small business, and you're ready to be big guy, then you know where to go, sandhill.sohooffice.com. They've got it all. You need to fax them. You don't want to buy a fax machine, you go there. You need a logo design, you go there. You need a website, you go there. You need your computer repaired, you go there. You need someplace to meet with a client so you can get a check, you go there. That's right, sandhill.sohooffice.com is the place. Computers repaired, and every single computer technology customer of theirs receives wholesale prices on technology items. And I'm not just talking computers and laptops. I'm talking LCD TVs, cameras, anything technological wise. They're not in it to make a profit off of you for parts. They're in it to make you better as an entrepreneur. Parts is parts is parts. That's an old saying. Parts is parts. That's actually a chicken saying, but still. They're not worried about that. They'll give you the wholesale prices that they're getting from the wholesalers. Knowing that all of these items are going to help you be better and bigger than you ever will. So that's the place you want to go, sandhill.sohooffice.com, let me tell you. Now, in school, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but when I was little, we went to school. Very first thing you did was you stand up. You turn to the right, or you turn to the left, I don't remember. You put your hand on your heart and you say this.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now, whether that is a, it's not saying any country, anything, it's pledge allegiance to the flag of your nation and to the republic in which it stands. My dear friend Adele is on the show. She knows, she watches what Britain's going through. She knows there are plenty of people to help over there. I know there are plenty of people to help over there. She knows there's plenty of people to help over here. We're trying to help across the pond. I just told you a story about a 13-ounce miracle that's probably fought harder than you have in the last 2 years. Now, one of the things that's really interesting, before we get to our fitness segment here on spring, lots of people are getting spring finger. The spring finger is a completely different thing than spring fever. Spring fever makes you go, wahoo! And the spring finger makes you go, hoo-hoo! Anyway, before we get into fitness, that is the spring fever is giving you. All right, we're going to talk about, is cancer contagious? Well, hard to say. I do know that over there in Britain, there was a mistake from the National Health Service over there. Two transplant patients were given kidneys from a woman with an extremely rare form of cancer. Now, the mistake was discovered post-mortem examination on the donor revealed she had intravascular B-cell lymphoma, which is a rare type of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, difficult to diagnose. And to make matters worse, both transplant patients had been ready to receive kidney donations from their respective sisters, but were instead given the diseased organs. That's right. Not only was it just some kind of mistake, it was purposeful. Both of the patients were about to get a kidney from their sisters. Now, where they were on a dialysis machine, they're now receiving chemotherapy. One of the problems the patient has, which is Robert Law 59 and Gilliam Smart 46. Now, understand this: these are two patients with kidney issues at 59 and 46 years old. One of them said, given that I had a live donor, which is my sister, who was tested, gone through all the procedures, why was I given a cancer-infected kidney from someone else? They're saying this is where my life could have started again. I was ready to go out and take on the world with my new kidneys. And now, goodness, I'm now fighting a potentially new fatal illness. Can you imagine? Now, of course, the NHS of Britain saying, had there been any suspicion the donor had cancer, the transplant would not have taken place. I believe him. I have to believe him. But what? Is this a fluke? Is this a new kind of possibilities going on in the world? I don't know. Is cancer contagious? It is if you put the organ in, apparently. Speaking of cancer, since we do that so often on the show, oh, and I'm going to announce very soon something major. I'm helping a lady launch her book about a story of a alternative treatment survivor of cancer. And I'm going to be announcing that very soon on this very show and in Twitter and Facebook and all those others. So if you want to be the first to hear about this, and you're going to get, when you order this book, you're going to get tons and tons and tons of things. I'll give you the exact web page to go to. All you'll have to do is just enter your email address. And you'll get even a free gift from me. I'm going to give away something very large when you go purchase this book. That's coming up in April 12th, actually. Which my show is not. It is on. My show is on that night. So on April 12th, I will announce the website for you to go to and the prize that you will receive going to purchase this book. It's a story, and all of the proceeds from this book sales is going to alternative treatments of cancer, not to the American Cancer Society. Very important. Anyway, speaking of cancer, adolescent girls and young women living in wealthy communities more likely to be diagnosed with melanoma. According to a new study of skin cancer cases in California. Now remember, we don't just talk about stuff. We look deep. The authors of this study think it's because wealthier women may be spending lots more time out in the sun, at home, on vacation, and frequenting tanning beds. Cases of melanoma are rising in young white women in the United States in recent decades, more than doubling since the 1970s. Okay, let me throw something at you. Cancer in all forms have been doubling since the 1970s. And if cancer is caused by something we're consuming and not by something in the air or the light that shines down and gives life to almost everything on Earth, why do we think that would possibly be the reason? Anyway, the study of the Cancer Prevention Institution of California analyzed data from a registry of more than 3,800 melanoma cases in white California girls and women aged 15 to 39. They paired their cancer statistics with information from the U.S. Census education levels in their neighborhoods. In other words, when someone had melanoma, that this college found out their name, then used what's known as public information to find out where they lived and where they went to school, and based on their household income and education levels in their neighborhood, found that the rates of melanoma were significantly higher in women in the highest socioeconomic categories, according to the findings. First off, don't even want to spend so much on this show. I was in Charlotte yesterday. I want to talk about this. I was in Charlotte. And Charlotte went through this debate on prescription drug medication information database being available to sheriffs and only 14 people in the SBI, the State Bureau of Investigation. And throughout the debate, the State Bureau of Investigation and sheriff's departments and policemen all said, we'll never have to worry about that information getting out to the public. It's only 14 people plus sheriffs, and sheriffs are always trustworthy. Cops are always trustworthy. There's never going to be information. Well, they spoke about how cops just would look up data on women from license plate of a girl they thought was cute in a car. The Charlotte Observer found instances on top of instances of cops looking up this information, then posting stuff about it on Facebook or haunting and hunting and stalking girls they find cute, or when they stop a girl they find cute, they get their driver's license number and then go find out everything about them. And if they happen to become their boyfriend or girlfriend, they then go find out about everything that their ex is doing. But that's a digression that we just had about the data that this college, the Cancer Prevention Institute, just pulled out of the air, right? Pulled out of the air. Anyway, we're not worried about that. We're not worried about the data that they pulled or how they pulled it. What they found was the wealthiest 20% of California neighborhoods, 4 out of 5 of the 100,000 young white women were diagnosed with melanoma over a 5-year period from 98 to 2002. In the poorest group, the rate was less than 1 in 100,000 in the same period. Now, here it is. In the poor group, it was 1 in 100,000. In the rich group, it was 4 out of 100,000. So that is a 400% increase. Albeit, remember, tiny. Now, compared to the data from a decade earlier, 88 to 92, rates of melanoma increased in white girls and young women as a whole. But the increases were most obvious in wealthier women. Wealthier women weren't more likely to get melanoma just because they lived in the sunniest areas of California. When the authors calculated how much UV light women in different neighborhoods were exposed to, they found the wealthiest women living in areas with lots of UV radiation were still diagnosed with melanoma almost 75% more often than the poorest women who lived in communities with the most UV radiation. Now, does that also mean that those women could be diagnosed with melanoma faster? No, she said it also wasn't likely that wealthy girls would be diagnosed with melanoma more often just because they have better access to health care. So they answered that question for us. A combination of outdoor sun exposure and tanning beds were probably to blame for the higher rates of melanoma in wealthier girls. Midwinter trips to Mexico or Hawaii, for example, require money and can be dangerous after skin has been covered up for months. What? What? How does she know midwinter trips to Mexico or Hawaii suddenly happen from these wealthy ladies? I can pull up the Daily Mail UK right now, and there's 1,000 wealthy women pull in Rio, Brazil, sunning right now trying to get their tan on. Clark also says wealthy girls are surrounded by a message of being tanned all year round. It's cool. Her solution? Ban tanning beds. Of course it is. The message she wants to get across is no tan is safe. Tell that to the indigenous people in other countries that don't have to go under shelter because it doesn't really rain or anything. But there's no skin cancer where they are. Tell that to other countries where the sun hits it a harder basis than sunny California, but the skin cancer rates are less. Tell that to the fact that skin cancer rates across the board are going up, even though for the last 15 years we've been told you must cover up. We have to think about this stuff. We have to figure it out. All right, so fitness. Fitness is very important, and spring fever is on us, right? Right. So let's talk about that for a minute. Fix the Family. Fix America Radio, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being here. Remember we talked about, if you want to talk about fitness, we talked about how a can of cola, the sugar, messes with you. Well, high fructose corn syrup messes with you even more. All right? If you take 120 calories of fructose, on the other hand, guess that that results in 40 calories being stored as fat. In other words, consuming fructose is essentially consuming fat because the metabolism of fructose is done by your liver. It creates a long list of waste products and toxins, including a large amount of uric acid, which causes drives up blood pressure and causes gout. Fructose also interferes with your brain communication with leptin and results in overeating. Now understand, soda, soft drinks, is the number one source of calories in the American diet. So the very first thing you want to do is stop drinking soda. All right? Now, top 10 fitness myths. Fitness myths. That's tough. Number one, static stretching decreases risk of injury. If people warm up at all, they usually static stretch. Well, what that has turned out to be is it can cause a performance decrement. It can also increase your risk of injury. Stretching can also cause a short-term decrease in musculotendinous stiffness. Woo! That's a long word. If joints are relying on that stiffness for force production or stability, this decrease can lead to undesired joint movements and eventually cause injury in your joint, especially true in runners who do the standard calves and hamstring stretches outside and then go immediately into the run. There is research demonstrating the static stretch before a run suffers more injury than those who don't. Dynamic warm-ups are way better. My number one way to warm up is just do the exercise with less weight. Because I ain't running. Number two, getting in shape is good for fat loss. As I've told you 1,000 times on this show, there are an awful lot of healthy, large people. I know some people can run 5 miles, lift 250 pounds, yet if you look at them, you think they were the laziest person on earth. Now, what does that mean is happening inside them? It's because of their diet. But most people equate losing weight with getting in shape. And by definition, getting in shape means that any given workload will be easier to perform and less costly in terms of energy, such as jogging, as an example. You'll need to run longer or harder to get the same metabolic disturbance that caused the weight or fat loss. That can lead to excessively long training sessions that take a significant toll on your body. How many people know they says, I'm going to run a mile, and they're talking, you know, I run 3 miles a day. And then you talk to them later on, I run 10 miles a day. And you go, dude, man, when are you going to stop running? I mean, how much more miles do you want to run during the day? What used to take you 3 minutes now takes you 5 hours. You meet that same person in 10 years and be like, I run to South Dakota and back every day. What? Yeah, I'm keeping myself healthy. No, you're not. And let's talk about that before we go any further. The exercise mistake proven to damage your heart. Not long ago, researchers studied the heart health of a group of very fit older athletes, men who have been part of the National or Olympic team in distance running or rowing, or runners who have completed at least 100 marathons. The results were unsettling. What? Unsettling? Half of these lifelong athletes showed evidence of heart muscle scarring. They effectively showed that years of strenuous cardiovascular exercise can damage your heart. This came out today, ladies and gentlemen. The affected men were invariably the ones who had gone through the longest, hardest training. And now a new study in rats provides solid evidence of a direct link between prolonged exercise and heart damage, scarring, structural changes, similar to those seen in human endurance athletes. Unfortunately, it remains impossible at the moment to predict just what threshold is for any given person and which athletes might be most vulnerable to heart problems as a result of excessive exercise. We hear almost every day the guy who made the winning basketball shot drops dead of a heart problem. The study focusing exclusively on lifelong cardio will damage your heart. The different groups underwent a new type of magnetic resonance imaging of their hearts that identifies very early signs of fibrosis or scarring within the heart muscle. Fibrosis becomes severe, can lead to stiffening or thickening of the portions of the heart, which contribute to irregular heart function and eventually heart failure. None of the younger athletes or older non-athletes had fibrosis in their hearts. Now, children reading this, of course, will say, well, sitting there playing my game on Nintendo is helping me stay heart healthy. It's much more difficult than that because you've got to keep the heart doing something and you keep the blood and arteries that it pumps through healthy as well. Aha, what? That sounds interesting. But for the person that says, you know, I run 3 miles a day, I run 5 miles a day, I run 10 miles a day, I'm, dude, man, you're killing yourself. There's a new book called The Reverse Effect. It says, unless you're engaged in high-level elite endurance training, at the end of strenuous daily exercises, you can develop scarring and structural changes. Something normally good for you can have the reverse effect. Too much of something good for you. Too much of something good for you. Meaning everything in moderation. Everything. Even sex. That's right. New study just came out today. Says sex will kill you. You know how they said sex will kill you? Because sudden burst of moderate to intense physical activity to people that are sitting on their tail, such as jogging or having sex, significantly increase the risk of having a heart attack, especially in people who do not get regular exercise. Doctors have long known that physical activity can cause serious heart problems. But the new study quantifies the risk. They analyzed data from 14 studies looking at the link between exercise, sex, and the risk of heart attacks or sudden cardiac death, a lethal heart rhythm that causes the heart to stop circulating blood. They found people were 3.5 times more likely to get a heart attack when they are exercising compared to when they are not. 2.7 times more likely to get a heart attack when they're having sex or immediately afterward compared to when they are not. Now, these findings do not apply to sudden cardiac death because there were no studies looking at the link between sex and cardiac death. The period of increased risk is brief. It's only for a short time, 1 to 2 hours during and after the physical or sexual activity. If you take 10,000 people, each individual session of physical or sexual activity per week can be associated with an increase of 1 to 2 cases of heart attack or sudden cardiac death per year, especially in the people that think exercise is bad. So where's your balance? Now, this guy says that this study, the Sexakilia study, says people who do not exercise regularly need to start any exercise program slowly, gradually increasing the intensity of the workout over time. Well, what he doesn't say is if you continue to do that intensity increasing over time, you will then go back to hurting your heart. Do you see what two studies came out today? Both of them saying you're going to die. You go running like a crazy madman, your heart's going to get fibrosis, you're going to die. You don't run and then you have sex like a crazy madman, your heart's going to stop running, you're going to die. What do you do? I personally would like to do the second one. If you're going to have a heart attack, do it after something fun. Running ain't fun at all. So what are we doing here, ladies and gentlemen? What are we doing here? Well, the number one way, the disease in the diet, class number 8, the seminar number 8, if you ever get somewhere in this world where you can see all 8, you need to get all the way to the 8th one. Because it tells you the exact number one way to make your heart and lungs better every single time without reaching the threshold of fibrosis and scarring. You actually raise your heart rate up to an anaerobic threshold. It's amazing. And that is the only way proven to make your heart and lungs better in a shorter amount of time, and also works on your different type of muscle fibers inside your diaphragm and your heart and all the, and your other muscles. Because that whole low intensity, medium intensity, keep it in the fat burning ratio thing is wrong. Only one high intensity burst cardio will engage your super fast fibers and promote human growth hormone. And that's the magic factor. If you do these little tiny exercises only twice a week, you'll lower your body fat, improve muscle tone, firm your skin, reduce wrinkles, boost your energy and sexual desire, improve your athletic speed and performance, and get your heart and lungs right. Because the guy over there is saying that when you stress your heart and you haven't been doing it, but you stress it during sex, you're dead. So why not train to prepare your heart and lungs to do it? To be ready for that short burst of exertion, followed by periods of rest. As in the case of sex, big old short burst of exertion, followed by sleep. Not for everyone, of course. But I know you people. That's the key to fitness. So back to the fitness myths. Okay? Long distance cardio, number 3, long distance cardio good for fat loss. I just told you what long distance cardio is good for. It's good for killing you. Every piece of cardio equipment in the world manufactures some kind of display with a target heart zone for fat burning. What what everyone needs to realize is you burn most of your fat when you're done exercising. When you're actually resting, when you're sleeping, not moving. What? What are you saying, Jack? This isn't right. I heard it on the medical show with that doctor that everyone loves and he writes so many books. I know. The growing body of research is now coming around to exactly what I've been preaching for years. The only people that should ever do long-distance cardio are endurance athletes, people who have a complete disregard for the value of their time, and people who aren't good enough in health to pursue high-intensity intervals. Fitness myth number 4. Pasta is the ultimate pre-workout meal. What? I don't even know where this happened, where this came from. For endurance athletes, there may be some benefit to the idea of carb loading, okay? But again, for endurance athletes, what you should be doing is working on why your heart's going to break. With that recognition, lots of people have heard carb loading is the way to go for anything. People go, you know what? I need some carbs right before I go work out, dude. I gotta go to Olive Garden. Most men have fully depleted their body's carbohydrate stores through the foods they eat throughout the rest of the day. Overeating pasta does little in the way of providing energy and likely leads to fat storage. Carbohydrates can also make some people feel tired, like me. You give me pasta, guess what I'm doing? Yeah, I'm going to work out. Hang on. A better meal option is something I've been talking about all this time. Protein. Sounds like I'm calling a dog. Protein. Come here, baby. That's right. Beef, chicken, fish, ham, turkey. Or whole grain products such as quinoa. Some people call it quinoa. Some people call it quinoa. We're going to call it Q. That provides a wider range of nutrients and gives you the amino acid your muscles need to work better, ladies and gentlemen. Are you seeing this? Guess what your body doesn't need? Oh, yeah, it's carbs. That's what it doesn't need. Has to have protein. Has to have fats. People say fat's bad, right? Fat. Fat's terrible. Fat, bad, fat, fat, fatty, fatty, fat, fat. Right here, I'm looking at this piece of paper. Fat is essential or you die. What? I've heard fat is bad. Don't eat fat. Because we're eating the wrong fat. We're eating engineered fats. The soybean, the corn, canola. Engineered things. Number 5 of the workout myth. A quick jog and a few stretches is a sufficient warm-up. Woohoo! Not overlooking the fact that many people don't warm up at all. Again, me. I just do the exercise with less, or depending on how I feel, just go ahead and get started, and then find out that where I started, where I thought what I was going to be, is actually the low amount. By doing a quick jog, you increase your circulatory rate and your body temperature, which will improve the elasticity of your muscles. But this type of warm-up does little to stimulate the nervous system to increase the excitability of the working muscles. And it doesn't take the working joints through a full range of motion. Static stretching sucks, and a quick jog sucks. So what do you need to do to warm up? A dynamic warm-up consisting of joint mobility and muscle activation exercises will take your joints through the full range of motion, increase the neural drive to the working muscles, increase the extensibility of commonly locked up muscles, increase your circulatory rate, and increase your internal body temperature. Well, what is a dynamic warm-up? It's doing your exercise with a little less much. Number six, myth. More is better. People are finding out, many people have heard it takes 10,000 hours of practice to master a skill. In fact, I heard that this weekend from a gentleman. That may be true in some cases, such as piano or some other stuff, but it's important to remember the quality practice leads to quality muscle memory, and fatigue masks fitness. In other words, you must give yourself time to recover from skill-based practices, or you'll be teaching your body to remember garbage movement strategies. Stress is necessary to stimulate improvement. Recovery is necessary to realize adaptation. Number seven of the top 10 fitness myths. Strength isn't important for distance running. I don't know about you, but every distance runner I've ever seen, strength has never been an importance to them. They look like they can barely lift up the pasta fork for their carb loading. Now, it's true every distance runner doesn't need to be and shouldn't be built like a power lifter because he's running. But again, we just found out what the distance runner should be worried about. Okay? But it doesn't mean you shouldn't be doing some form of resistance training. Guess what your muscles do for you? Everything. You want to move? Guess what's going to move you? Muscle. And that doesn't mean low weight, high rep crap that people seem to say, dude, man, you just need to do low weight, high reps. Low rate, high rep, that'll get you ready to run. That'll get you ready to run. No, it doesn't do. Speed is improved by putting more force into the ground in each stride. More force is done by more strength. Strength training is designed to actually get you strong. Think of it this way, runners. Other than the fact that you're now upset that your hearts could be scarred, if you put an average of 5 units of force into the ground each stride to attain your time goals, and your maximum capacity is 10 units of force, you're working at 50% of your maximum capacity. But if you improve your capacity through strength training to 15 units of force, then running at 5 units per stride is only 33% of your capacity. In other words, you increase your speed to maintain your given work intensity. What? That's right. You'll have to increase your speed to maintain that 50% work intensity that you were running at anyway. And you should be upset you were running at 50% anyway. Number eight myth. I don't even know why this is a myth. It's not something that happens. People say this all the time. Basketball shoes protect against injury. What? High-top basketball shoes were invented to attempt to minimize the risk of rolling an ankle as a result of landing on someone's foot. Now, that may be true if you have the sprain by excessive range of motion of the side-to-side ankle motion. But the knee? Excuse me. Sleepy Tom tea was given to me as my libation. Unbeknownst to me. This is an absolute wrong libation for a 2-hour show to begin drinking Sleepy Tom tea at the onset of the program. So, in other words, if your ankle doesn't move any to give your knee some relief, then over time this actually leads to a number of knee problems. So your knee and your ankle were built to absorb the left-right possible motions of your leg. So there, take that. Number 9, squatting is bad for your knees. You know how many years I've heard that? If squatting was bad for your knees, getting up from a chair would kill us all. Of course, this is also why most Americans get up from a chair by grabbing the table or another human hand and then going, trying to save my knees. Data on the patellofemoral contact. That's right, I said it. Patellofemoral. That's the kneecap against the joint. Forces during these movements can show forces in excess of 9 times an individual's body weight as the knee flexes through 90 degrees. In other words, when you go past parallel, where your leg is parallel to the ground, the patellofemoral contact force can be 9 times your body weight. That means, according to the government, all people are now at an average of 175 riding a bus. That's 9 times 175. I don't know what that is because I don't have a calculator, but it sounds like almost 1,000 pounds. So your knee is trying to lift your weight in the next 10 years already. I've always said when I've looked at someone that's very large, I'm talking very large, that halfway to that point, they had to just say, well. So, if your knee is already doing 9 times 175, you know, it's preparing. It's what it's doing. It's getting ready to lift your 1,000 pound butt up. That's what it's doing. Can you imagine in 10 years when the bus safety commission gets back together, you know what, we're going to have to do it to 250. 250 and give 3 square foot of bunk of space per human. Anyway, this couple with doctors, yes, right, those people that are out for your health, they conclude squatting is bad for your knees by seeing men come to them in pain from squatting. So if you hear people say they hurt their knees from squatting again and again, squatting must be bad for their knees. The problem is most people without a history of knee pain squat without ever experiencing it. And regarding that patellofemoral contact force data, that number that seems strikingly high doesn't necessarily imply the body is not built to sustain that force. Do you think the knee and leg was never ever supposed to ever push you past vertical? If that was true, I believe you'd stop bending right about there. There'd be a little catch right on the back of your knee going, that's it, that's all we're doing, because that's 9 pounds of your fat tail. It'd be like that chair leg that flops out as you bend back so you don't fall. It'd be the same thing on the back of our leg. It would flop out and stop us from going past parallel. Anyway, most people have knee problems from squatting. Squat in a poor technique. In a good squat, the angle of the shin matches the angle of the torso, which ensures loading the posterior hip musculature. In other words, your glutey and your hammy. That's your butt and back of the leg for new listeners. Crunches. Number 10. Crunches are the best way to get a six-pack. Everyone has heard, don't do a sit-up. Do a crunch, right? Well, sorry, having a six-pack is almost virtually an entirely function of body fat. Now, what is the best exercise for abs? What? You want firmer, flatter abs? Stop doing sit-ups and use this hand trick instead. All right? If you can get a strong core, you can maintain good posture, conduct everyday movements of reaching and bending more easily and safely, continue to have strong continence, and sustain strong balance and stability. Your core is made up of the rectus abdominis, known as the six-pack. That's the one everyone's working on. Speaking of that, I saw the situation on Donald Trump's roast. What a special evening that was, I guess. Transversus abdominis. These muscles are the deepest set of muscle fibers in your abdominal wall. Okay? This area of the abdominal wall acts like a belt to help compress the abdominal contents. So when you see a guy with a beer gut, his transversus abdominis has said no. Just said no. The belt has been loosened and allowed the gut contents to flow freely. Be free. Your internal and external obliques, and then your erector spinae, or spinae. I actually don't know. Spinae spinae. I've heard many different ways. So, you work that core, okay? You work it as traditional exercises, standard crunch, which incorporates your internal and external obliques, or standing rotation with a band or light hand weight. That's right. You can actually stand and just rotate with weight. Then you have functional exercises such as stability ball, which is known for stabilizing your spine and drawing the transverse abdominal wall back into your spine. All right. Pulling your belly back towards your spine and holding that position while breathing deeply is an exercise. And then the erector spinae is the extension exercises. You can start with the extension lying on the stomach, arms extended above the head, then raise both arms and legs at the same time off the floor, hold for a count of 5 breaths. Now, all of this stuff makes you a big old awesome health, big time weight guy. Doesn't it help if you become smarter so that you're not the big, dumb gym rat? Well, what's the best way to increase your brain power? I'm running out of time here. Exercise. That's right. You actually get smarter as you exercise. So the big, dumb gym rat is actually a myth. So get out there, people. Get started. Work hard and reveal your success. I told you a miracle 13-ounce baby that lifted herself off her body many, many times to survive. And now I just told you that they are increasing the butt width of buses. Now get up, do your work, go home, have a wonderful dinner, put your children to bed, kiss your significant other, have a wonderful libation on me, and have a great, great day. Thank you for listening to Fix the Family.